He was a propitiation of our sins so that we are can be savable. Because sin, there had to be a price that had to be paid. Because God's holy. And we talked about that in those first two verses. Now we come to chapter 2 and verses 3 through 17. And I call this really the prescription of the believer, how to maintain that fellowship, because it's the same context. And there's really four words through these verses 3 through 17, which we'll be going through when we get back to this after this morning service. This morning we're only going to talk one of those words. But there's four words, if you would see verses 3 through 17, this prescription to help us maintain that truth with him, to maintain that fellowship with him, that partnership with him. He's also shown us in that fellowship with him that evidence of really being saved, not talking about it. And so we see the four words that I have in verses 3 through 6, which we're going to go through this morning, and then we'll probably take another one on verse 6 when we get back to it. But verses 3 through 6, we're looking at the word obedience. Verses then 7 through 11, we're looking at the word love. And then verses 12 through 14, the word assurance. And then verses 15 through 17, the word separation. Those four words will help you maintain a fellowship with God, and he explains it in this passage of Scripture. And we're just going to look at that first one of obedience, which we could take all next year and do every passage about the obedience, what God's talking about in our obedience. But let's look what God puts in the heart and moves by the Spirit of God into John as he writes here in verses 3 through 6, talking about that obedience, which I see is the connect for maintaining fellowship with God. In other words, obedience is the connect to maintaining fellowship with God. When you're connecting something, isn't there something else it has to be connected to? When you use the word connect and we see it. So that means if obedience is the connect, Dean, to that partnership, that fellowship, to know the evidence, know that this is what, that you are in fellowship with God. It's not broken. There's got to be something that makes it real and connect it to. And that is, as we look at this picture, there is another thing that we see, there's a one word that we see in these verses. So let me just read these verses to you, and I'm going to ask you, what word is that where we think that this is the connect, obedience is the connect from this to having fellowship with God? Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now, I want everyone to get an A this morning. Here goes the question. What do you think is the word that's used here that is to connect with the fellowship of God? What is it? Knowledge of God. You all get a star. You can go home and tell your mommy and daddy that you got a star at church today. But I thought of this week. As I was reading and studying this, it was uplifting and it enlightened me to realize that knowledge, he's talking about a knowledge of God here, and the fellowship of God is the context. And to have fellowship with God, you have to have the knowledge of God. But you can have the knowledge of God and not what? Fellowship of God. In fact, James tells us that the demons they know all about God, but they have no what? They have no fellowship with him. You can know about God and not be saved. There can be a knowledge, a head knowledge of God. But how is that connect to have fellowship? It's manifested by your obedience through the grace of God and the Spirit of God in your life. Now let's try to explain that as we go through. But we've got to realize that, as it says here on verse 3, and hereby we do know, the "and" there is the one that connects really verse 3 and the second half of chapter 1, which has to do with fellowship, the context. And so, apparently, John needs to complete his thoughts on having that fellowship with God in chapter 1, verses 3, 6, 7, and 9. He points out, walking in the light in fellowship with God means that we confess our sins. Now he adds that knowing God means obeying his commands. So as a synonym, as one man said, of the term fellowship, he introduces the concept of knowing God. So obedience is the connect between the knowledge of God and the fellowship of God. You want to have fellowship with God? Obey God. You want to know God? Obey God. And we see in verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6, how he manifests that obedience. And it talks about, in verse 3, obedience to his will. In verses 4 and 5, obedience to his word. In verse 6, obedience to Christ's walk. See how simple it is? It's very simple as we look at it. And so we start out in verse 3, and notice what it says there. And hereby we do know that we know him. Now, I don't want to bore you with grammatical things, but in this passage of Scripture, it really helps you and enlightens you about knowing some grammatical things. How he's saying it in the original language. Because in short, we see here the word "know" occurs twice here in this verse. The first verb is used in the present tense. And the present tense has that whole idea of continual perceiving something by experience, because the word knowledge here is gnosko, and it's we learn by experience. That's very easy to understand, isn't it? We learn by experience. Now keep that in mind when we take this all together, and I think it's a little more understandable for us to understand what's the evidence here. Now some of you are starting to look a little bored already. I want you to know how important this is. I guess bored's not a word I should use. I'm only reading it by the countenance of your slouch. And I want us to understand the truth here. That he's saying, first of all, and hereby we do know. In other words, it's in a continual mode. We know this continually. He's saying, we do know. Who's he talking about? Those that are believers do know continually, have a continual perception about the experience and knowledge of God. Notice he didn't say, we hope, we think, we wish. He says, we know, which verifies walking in the light or that fellowship of a genuine relationship. Because it says, and hereby we know in the present tense, in other words, that we know that continually, and then it says that we know him. Now where it says that we know him, it's a different tense. It's what we call the perfect tense. And really what that is, that perfect tense has the whole idea then of a fellowship with God and knowledge of God are the two sides of the same coin. We have come to know him. In other words, in the perfect tense, it has this to do. It has this whole idea. Have come to know. You're looking back on past action that has continuing results in the present. past action that's continual result in the present. Now, how do I make that simpler for you? Something you did in the past is impacting you today. That's simply what he's talking about. Something, and he's using, and God makes no mistakes. The Spirit of God makes no mistakes in his writing. He says, you continually know God. The evidence of that continually knowing God will be evidenced by your life right now. Will be evidenced by that knowledge you had of God will be carried through by that evidence, that impact of knowing God right now. So what's the connect? Look what it says. Hereby we know him. What does he say then? If we keep his commandments. It's obedience. It's really simple. I know you say, Pastor, why'd you have to be so confusing to say something so simple? Because many of you, we all need to know that God's word is so pure. And it, if we'll just look into it and see the truth, we'll see the evidences. In other words, if you really are saved, you'll obey him. You will, and it's talking about a continual knowledge, a continual obedience. That doesn't mean you don't sin. We're sinners. But it does mean that you'll be convicted of that sin, ask God to save you, and get back in obedience to God. And that will be your characteristic of your life. I know this is going to be hard for you to take. I already sinned this morning. And immediately, God convicted me. Let me tell you what I did. You do, huh? Boy, my wife wants to know. She already knows why. I mean, why would she? There is something that I thought about that I thought I did pretty good. And immediately the Spirit of God smote me. And I said, God, forgive me for my pride. I was trying to take credit for something God did. In my mind, something that I thought, hey, this was... That's called sin. It's called falling short of the glory of God. And immediately, because of a past decision that I made, and the Spirit of God continually working and continual knowledge that I'm knowing about God experientially, that impact is happening right now, and the Spirit of God convicted me of that. And I had a choice to continue to go on and say, oh, psh, psh, psh. Or say, Lord, what? Forgive me. You know, we need to be that tender. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God will be speaking to you, and you either have a choice, yes or no. It really is. I'm not saying it's easy, because, boy, I have that old flesh. And it's just going to be all the time working on it. And so we see here that evidence that looks back on that past action continually results in the presence. So the knowledge of which John spoke in the saving knowledge of Christ that comes from being in a right relationship with him. The point is that external obedience provides evidence for whether or not an eternal transformation has happened, that God has saved you and taken place. For the people who truly know God, pursue holy lives, knowing that this new covenant, the Bible says, is written in our hearts. Jeremiah said it's written in our hearts. Jeremiah in chapter 31, verse 33 and 34 says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. He's writing it upon your hearts. That's why we have to know God's word. The Spirit of God's writing on our hearts. When we're away and we don't have a copy of the word, we must hide it in our heart. We may not sin against God, but God will bring up a concept or a thing, an area in your life where you know the way God is like. And it will convict you. You will be obedient. It's not on your works. You'll realize it is God. Anything that we think we can do in ourselves is sin. We are not saved by our own works. Then we could go to heaven and say, Lord, let me in on my works. We should not boast that way. For the wages of sin is death. And we need to be honest with ourselves as we realize the truth that it is a gracious attitude of obedience that flows from the truth embraced internally. And so we have that assurance, we can know that we know him. The impact. And he goes and explains that we can know him, for he then gives us the action if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. The word keep there, the word keep has the idea of injunction, order, precepts, directives. In other words, as we look at, I should say, excuse me, the word, that's commandments. Commandments is that. The idea of the commandments is that you, when it says keep his commandments, it's not necessarily talking about the Ten Commandments of that we see that Moses wrote down, although that's the moral law of God, and we know that Christ infers that. But this is talking about the whole revelation of God, as you, the commandments, the injunction, the precepts, the directives of Christ, which concludes the whole thing, doesn't it? Because he came to fulfill the what? The law. So, we realize that now the word keep, then, is a word that means, where it says there, we keep his commandments, it's an observant, watchful obedience. That's the whole idea of it. It's an observant, watchful obedience. And so when we look at that word keep, we realize that it is something that it conveys the sense of believers continually safeguarding the commandments because they consider them precious. When you guard something, notice it says keep, and the idea is guard. The idea of guard, watchful obedience, when you're doing that, you're... when the projector came in, I was going to be gone when it came, and so I called and texted Doris. Said, Doris, be in the lookout for we don't need this projector standing outside. And when Amazon or when someone deliver it, sometime they deliver it. Who knows where around here? It'll be someplace either in the porch or down here, over there, or under our house, or what? So, but when that thing comes, I mean, they'll let me know I need it out and in the church. Why? It was something we treasured. I mean, we paid a little bit of money for this. We treasured that, didn't we? We wanted to keep it. The idea is we wanted to guard it. It was important. And so we thought it was something that should be considered precious. But more so, we're thinking here, there's a commandments. God's word needs to be precious to you. And did you know to obey him needs to be precious to you? That's evidence that you can maintain a fellowship with him. And sometimes it's a strong evidence whether you're even saved. But an evidence in that obedience, there are things you know you should be doing and you don't. Whatever that is, who's winning? You're breaking the fellowship. And what does the premise of it all say in chapter 1? We must what? Confess that sin so we can have fellowship with God. Do you not want to have fellowship with the God of the universe? I surely do. I don't think I'm any different than you. I have a soul. I don't understand why people don't open their hearts and receive Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. But we must realize that these commandments, it's that order, that injunction. In other words, the willing obedience to Scripture in our daily living is a reliable indicator, both to self and others, that one has come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, it differentiates the unregenerate from the regenerate. Paul says the unregenerate are the sons of what? disobedience. He says the regenerate are what? Peter says they're obedient children. So God honoring obedience is really reflected of genuine love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Listen to Scripture. This might help you a little more. We love God and observe his commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John goes on and says in his gospel, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Wow! Chapter 14, verse 21 of John. If you love him and you obey him, he's going to disclose himself to you. The knowledge of God will grow because there's a connect with that fellowship of obedience. And he'll disclose himself to you. Do you not want to know more about God? Boy, there's so much I don't understand about God. And I know I'll forever not understand. But as much as the pea-pick and mind that God's given me, I want to learn whatever I can and comprehend whatever I can. Because there's so much else around. Because of our flesh. Like this morning, before I came over here getting ready, and we traveled yesterday to meet Brenda's niece in Boston. She was there from Texas, and so we wanted to go, and her unsaved husband possibly, and I don't know whether she's saved or not, but they were wonderful people. It was great meeting them. Listening to Christmas music, going there, driving, and different things. This morning, I had this one song in my mind. We Wish You a Merry Christmas, by a certain person that sang it. And I couldn't get it out of my mind, and I was getting so mad at myself. I'd get it in my mind, and I'd say, joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth rejoice. And then I'd stop and go do something else, and guess what would be back in my mind? Nothing wrong with that song, but I didn't want that one there. I wanted, rejoice, rejoice. You know, and I just had to continue. I knew, okay, I got to change my mind. Because my flesh doesn't want that. It wants to just glorify the created, not the creator. And we see that he goes on and says he'll disclose himself. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. He will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So how do you know him? How do you know that you know him? You go to a personality that changes you. You go to God, the person of God, and he changes you. Because you put your faith and repented of your sin. You realize you need a Savior and that your decisions are on the wrong track. And you obey him by putting your faith and trust in him. And when God saves you, he gives you that desire to do right. And he, you have now someone that can walk through you those battles. And you can be in fellowship with him. You know, I cannot stand not being in right fellowship with the wife that God's given me. And I do everything. If there's something, we might have a disagreement, boy, we try right away to. I remember one time in Florida, before we were ministering there at that church, we had a disagreement. And it's so funny how it was a terrible experience for us to realize that, because there was raised voices on this one. And Brenda actually went and had a glass and threw a glass down on the floor because of my doing. And so this was what's clever. We had our, when it was our 25th or something like that, anniversary. Ashley, you know that clever little, always up to something. Ashley and the kids got us a glass, a plastic vat, and put on it unbreakable glass. That never left them, did it? And Adam was real young. And I couldn't help to think, I went to the room. I'll never forget it. Went to the room, asked God to forgive me, cried out to God. Went and asked Brenda to forgive me. Went to the kids and asked them to forgive me. But what I couldn't help to think is, there's homes that are always yelling and hollering and different things, and I saw what it did to little Adam at that time. I can't stand not being in right fellowship with my wife. How much more my Savior? He loves you. Did you know that he doesn't love you any less, or he doesn't love you any more by what you do? No matter what you do, he still loves you the same. He does. So why in the world do we not obey him? Because of that strong flesh, and we just like to interpret our own things and rationalize. And what he wants you is to be a sunbeam for him. The connect is obedience. To know him, you have to get to know him more personally and powerfully and passionately. But to connect to that, the manifestation of that impact of a decision made in the past will be today's life, obedience in the Spirit of God continuing in your life. You see, why is the righteous life, obedience to the commands of God, a proof that we know God? Because it's not natural for a sinful man. Did you know it's not natural? It's not natural for you to obey. Especially when you don't have the Spirit of God in your heart. That is just, it's unnatural. That's why you're always doing it, always coming. You need to forget what you're doing and everything. You need to just put your faith and trust and repent of your sin and put it in Christ. And let him change you. And he will. He's promised to. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. But notice there's a difference. You can believe in him and not have fellowship with him. You can believe in a God and not be saved. And that's what he's explaining here. He goes into verses 4 and 5 then, as he tells us, of course, working out our own salvation in Philippians. But look what he says. There's God's will. We see God's word in verses 4 and 5, and he goes a positive and negative sort of. He talks about a hypocrite, and he talks about an honorable person. Look at verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. Notice the difference in verse 4, and we'll go up to verse 10. And verse 8 of chapter 1 and verse 6 of chapter 1. Notice the difference in the phrase there. It's real important that we look at God's word and revere his word. What's it say? It says in those, if we say, doesn't it? It says if we say corporately, all of us individuals as a church, or if we say together. Now look where John's getting. He's getting down to the nitty gritty. He comes right to you, the individual. And he says, he that saith, not we now, he that saith, individual, you, me, you say, I know him, I'm saved. I know him, I have the knowledge of God. And you, the word keepeth there is, again, a continual sort, and keepeth not his commandments. That's your practice of life. You're just, you don't have that conviction. It's a practice of life. The Bible says you're just a liar and the truth's not in you. But he then says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are of him, he that keepeth his word. And then he goes and says, he that abideth in him ought himself also walk, even as he walked. So you need to walk as he walked. You see, there's two types of men here. On the one hand, there's a man who claims to know God, but who does not keep the commandments. On the other hand, there's a man who obeys God out of a genuine love for him. And so this man, the man, what are you characterized? Are you characterized by disobedience? You see, a person's words must be tested by his works. I can tell you that I love you or I care for you and not do anything for you, and that's not telling you a whole lot. We just had a wonderful time with our entire family, our 7 grandkids, our 4 kids and their spouses, and minus one spouse. It was a wonderful time of fellowship, a wonderful time to be together. And they know we love them. How do they know that? We try to do everything we can. We even tell them when they're not, they shouldn't be doing something. Yes, even today as grown-ups, we don't go into their lives. But I just talked with my son-in-law about something that we're praying for him, trying to give him some advice. He said to me, "Dad, if you see something, would you please always call me and tell me about it?" You see, love is work. Love works. And it works on both ends of the spectrum. We did so much. We tried. I think the girls and the kids know the soft spot is forget mom, go to dad. Mom gets everything and gets all these presents and does these, goes by with all the different things that we might do together. But especially the girls know if you want something, go to dad. Guys, they know that I'll cave. I'm trying to win there. No. What is it? It's a manifestation that I what? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking to the choir here. Why not relate that to Jesus Christ then? Because that's where the relationship is. It's God. It's about that. For here we see, again, we see the truth here. He quotes the individual, and he quotes the person who claims to have come to know him. Notice it says, claims to come to know, and guess what tense that is? Now that's the perfect tense. So what's happening is he's claiming that he knows him, and his present life impact is one of disobedience. He's a liar. Truth's not in him. But when he goes and he says, God, but who fails to keep, it's talking about present. So he's talking about an unsaved person that presently, continually is disobedient. That characterizes their life of not wanting to do what God has. And so we see the wonderful truth there. He then goes in verse 5, the whole idea there, where the word of God is God's revelation that culminates in Jesus Christ. Follow along with me. When we have the word but in Scripture, what does it say then? What does it mean when we're trying to interpret it? What does it mean when we're looking at something? What's going to happen? When you see that conjunction but in Scripture, what helps us to understand and try to interpret it more? We know what's coming. A contrast. Look what it's saying. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But, a contrast is coming. It's going to be opposite now. The Lord's trying to teach us something now about the hypocrite and the honorable. And he goes, and what do you see? He says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God completed. Hereby, or perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. We are in him, in Christ. Now, I learned something again this week that as I was studying, You know where it says, where the love of God, where it says there, verily is the love of God perfected? I'm in a quandary, but I'm going to try to explain something to you that, and you can be right whichever way you want to be right. I don't have an answer for it. But the love of God here, excuse me again, is what you call a genitive, but it's talking about either it's objective or subjective or qualifies. In other words, objective would be fact. The object would be, who's the object of genitive? It would be man's love for God. The subjective would be God's love for man. And that qualitative would just mean the love, as you seem to look at God and he is love. But I think that it can include both of these. I'm sort of being a politician on this. Because as I went and I studied this, did you know, I looked at quite a few commentaries. They're split down the middle. Half of them think it's love for God, your love for God. And the other half thinks it's God's love for you. So how do we do this? What is it? Well, we do know this. It's truth both ways. Because here they'd say, what is that perfection? If it is that objective where it's your love for God, it's talking about, look, read it with me that way. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is your love for God perfected. So can you have a perfected love? What would it be completed? How would they, those that would take that side, how would they answer that? By the rest of the verse. The rest of the verse is saying, how would your love for God be completed? By what? Come on, you can see it. It's right. What's the last phrase there? By obeying him. So obedience would be it. You'd be completed by obedience. Is that true? I think that could be. The others that believe it's subjective, that it's God's love, which some lean, some have better arguments for this one. Because truth, we have truth because truth is who? God. We have love because God is what? Love. So in this being God's love, and God's love is the one perfects us as we obey him because of who? God's love constrains us in 2 Corinthians. You see how both of them work? But it's all about what? God's love. Because we can't love God without his love. And so we realize that God's love achieves its purpose when you keep his word. And to be made complete carries with it the idea of continuous growth and development. It describes both state and process. As obedience is practiced, so also God's love matures us. So let me just take it in a nutshell here. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Is it God's will for you to obey him? Is it God's will that you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? Yes, he's not willing that any should what? Perish, but that all should come to repentance. We read that this morning, our verse for this month. That's his will. He wants you to obey. He wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And that will be evidenced how you can know by your life of obedience, of continual obedience, and of, I want to get it right away. That is what's going to happen. And so it's evidenced of maintaining that fellowship with God by his will to obey him. And then by that obedience to his word, look at verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, keepeth not his word, his directives, of the directives of Christ, is a liar, the truth is not in him. But if you do keep his word, the love of God's perfected in you, and you can be assured that you're known of him. So you obey his will. His will is to obey. You obey his word so that you can continue that, maintain that fellowship. I can tell you there's great fellowship between my wife and I this morning. We try to keep it that way all the time. Using her, that's the best example I can, because God compares his love for the church to what? My love for my wife. Man's love for his wife. It's a very, very good illustration. And so we then not only obey, see his will to obey him, and evidenced by what we do. We get in these ruts, and we do these things, and we say, oh yeah, sometimes, here's a wonderful one. Well, I got burned at one church. And you're going to stand before God someday, and you're going to blame someone else for your rationalization of not letting the Spirit of God obey. And sometimes when we say that, it's because the Spirit of God's not in there and we think it's okay. Other times it is, and we realize what we should be doing, we just don't do it. And we realize that it's God's will for us to obey. It's not his will for us to disobey his word. So we obey his will, we obey his word, and then we obey his walk. And for that, stay tuned. For January, we'll get back to that. But I just want to bring you to a decision right now. Are you maintaining your fellowship with God? Everyone here knows something about God. Have you yet that knowledge convict you of the sin in your life and repent and receive him as your Savior? And as a believer, have you let that knowledge of God know and bring obedience so that you can have maintain that fellowship with him? Without obedience, it's impossible. It's impossible to have fellowship with God. He says it right here. It's impossible. But you can have that connect. If this morning you realize, don't think about anybody else, just think about you. What about your obedience? Do you know? Is it evidenced? The knowledge of God, the fellowship of God, whoosh, obedience. The injunctions, all of the injunctions. All of the orders, all of the directives of Christ. How's your spirit this morning? How are you responding to the Spirit of God in your life? The grace of God in your life? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you.